James chapter number 2, we're going to look at this morning by way of our message. And Brother Tom read a few of these verses that we are going to preach from today. We'll look at a few extras there. And then also we're going to have the opportunity to look at some other places in the Bible, so hopefully you can have your Bible open. Let's do this. Before we even read the first verse, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. And you pray there in your heart quietly and ask God to speak to you. And then I'll lead us in prayer and trusting that God will do His will in this message time here today. Father, thank You now for the opportunity we have to turn to Your Word. I pray that You would help us to quiet our hearts and our minds for just a few minutes. Help us to put away perhaps the distractions of this afternoon or maybe things that we are concentrated on in the week ahead. And just for a few moments here as we look into God's Word, that we would concentrate upon it and that You would be able to speak to our hearts. They allow Your Holy Spirit, Lord, to do its work, a work that we can't do without You and without Your strength and Your power. And so I pray that You would help us today. Help me as I preach the Word of God, and that You would use the message, and then that You would speak to our hearts, and we would make decisions accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. James chapter number 2, and we're going to jump right into this. I have some thoughts that we're going to see as we go through this passage today, and I want to go right into thought number 1. I want us to see, we're going to start in James chapter 2, verse number 14, and I want us, as we look through this little passage here from James 2, verse 14 down through verse number 26, and we'll take the time during this message to hit most of those verses, but I want us to right from the very beginning see the truth that's mentioned in this passage that we have to make sure we understand. So number 1, the truth of the passage. And we want to look at James chapter 2, and we want to look at verse 14, and then we want to skip down to verse number 24, and then we want to take some verses that are written in an entirely different book of the Bible to make sure that we understand this truth. James chapter number 2 and verse number 14, the Bible says this, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" Then if you would look down to verse number 24, by the way, when we look at verse number 14 there, a truth that I wanted to make sure we drew from that is the Bible says there in verse number 14, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith?" This is a picture of a man that says he has faith. Do you realize today that it's possible to say you have faith and yet not really have it? And that's important for us to remember. There's a big difference there. So he said, though a man say he have faith. So say it, but maybe not necessarily have it. The big difference that's seen there. And then he asked that question at the very end. Can faith save him? Or does he have saving faith in the fact that he says he has faith, but though he doesn't have works? Now let's look down at verse number 24, because in these two verses we're going to see some truths about two different thoughts. We're going to see some truths about faith, but then we're also going to see some truths about justification. Now that word faith is a word that we've been studying on Wednesday nights. If you haven't been able to have the opportunity to join us on Wednesday nights, we would love to have you. We're going through a Bible study right now on the fruit of the Spirit, and we have gotten to the fruit of faith. And we're studying about faith and putting our trust in the Lord and really just being a faithful Christian as well. And so we're studying that word faith, and we're going to talk about it here a little bit this morning, the word faith, but then also the word justification, just that thought that we are declared righteous in the sight of God. So what does the Bible say in verse number 24? It says, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only." Now, I had you look at verse number 14 and I had you look at verse number 24 because now I want to take you to some other passages in the Scripture that talk about these two thoughts of faith and justification so that we can draw the truth from this passage. So we saw in verse number 14 about the truth of faith and works, and then in verse number 24 how it says, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only." Now let's go to a passage in the book of Romans. I want us to look at Romans chapter number 3, a verse in Romans chapter 3. And I want us to look down at verse number 28. And I want us to notice what might seem like a statement that contradicts what we just read. Look at what Romans chapter 3, verse 28 says. And some people would go to this passage and they would say, well, there's a contradiction here. By the way, one thing we want to understand about the Bible is there are no contradictions in the Word of God. So we understand that, but some might try to take this passage and they might try to say that. So Romans chapter 3, verse 28, it says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So in James chapter number 2, we talked about the faith and the works. In verse 14 and verse number 24, and being justified by faith, or excuse me, by works and not faith only. And then here we see in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 28, a book that was written by the apostle Paul. We see that he declares here in verse 28 that we are justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Would you look at another book that Paul wrote? Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 16. Galatians 2 and verse number 16. And the Bible says this, knowing that a man, Galatians 2 verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, what I want to preach about today is this. I want to preach about a functioning, this is the title of the message, a functioning faith. A faith that functions. And I think we're going to see that from James chapter number 2. But again, first we have to draw out the truth. If we would look at James chapter number 2, and then we would go to the books that Paul wrote in the book of Romans, and then also the book of Galatians, some might say there's a contradiction between what James writes and then between what Paul writes. We've read what Paul has written and we've read what James has written, but there is no contradiction there. Instead, they are both delivering a truth from God, but yet in a different manner they deliver that truth. What we were able to see in Romans chapter number 3 and what we were able to see in Galatians chapter number 2 is that we are justified in the sight of God by faith, aren't we? You know, the Bible even says in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter number 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we understand the truth of what Paul is writing here. We understand the truth that Paul teaches us that we're justified in the sight of God by faith. So we would say that saving faith, trust Jesus as Savior in the heart, doesn't it? When we put our faith in Jesus, we've trusted Him as our Savior in our heart, haven't we? We've relied upon Him and trusted in Him, even though we didn't see when He died on the cross. And even though we haven't seen the place called heaven, yet we still put our trust in Him. We rely upon Him. We take Him at His word. And by the way, that's the gospel, isn't it? We believe it by faith, don't we? The fact that we're a sinner and the fact that Jesus died for us on the cross and He shed His blood on a cross, and how that if we'll put our faith and trust in Him, He promises that if we call on Him to be our Savior, we will be saved. So there is a truth in that, isn't there? There's a great truth in the fact that we are justified by faith in the sight of God. But here's what we notice in James, and if you would take the time to turn back to James chapter number 2, and in just a moment we're going to look at some other passages, but James chapter number 2 teaches us a great truth as well. Look at what the Bible says again in verse number 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? In verse number 24, we saw that we're justified by works and not by faith only. The great truth is this. That there is a difference between being justified in the sight of God and in the sight of men. There's a great truth that's there, a great difference that's seen. And James begins to reveal to us that we are justified in the sight of men by our good works. Now, what we understand about good works is they don't save us, do they? Works cannot take us to heaven, But our works, our godly living, our holy life, though, proves to others outwardly the justification in the sight of God that took place inwardly. There is no evidence to man of our salvation without what they're able to see outwardly, or the proof, or the demonstration, or the evidence, or the effect of our salvation by the way that we live our lives. Now, on Wednesday nights, right before we got into faith, we were studying the thought of goodness, the fact that God desires that we live in good works. I want to take you to a few of those verses that we looked at even in that study, and we'll look at them here this morning. I want you to look at Matthew chapter number 5. Now, you're going to find this to be a very familiar verse, but it's going to go along with our thought that we are reading here in James chapter number 2 about the proof outwardly, or the evidence or the demonstration outwardly of the justification in the sight of God that took place inwardly. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse 16, it says this. Matthew 5 verse 16, very familiar verse. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, we're to let our light shine, aren't we? We even sing that song to the little children. "This is the light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm not going to hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let the world see the light of my good works that I want to shine, so that my good works can bring glory to my heavenly Father." Notice what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 now. I told you we'd be turning to a few verses of Scripture here. Ephesians chapter 2. And notice the Bible teaches us why we are saved, why we're created, why we've been saved. There's a reason. We've said this before, but it is a truth. God could have saved us and just taken us right to heaven, couldn't he have? God could have just said, you're saved, you're justified in my sight, and you can go to heaven. But God desires that we as Christians have a role down here on earth, doesn't he? He desires that we be a witness for him, that we open our mouth and tell others about him. He desires that we be an influence for him, that we use the opportunities that he gives us, again, showing our good works before men that we can glorify our heavenly Father. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse number 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship." We're the masterpiece of God, aren't we? "Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We should walk in these good works so that we can give demonstration, or we can give proof or evidence in the sight of men outwardly of what took place in the sight of God inwardly. Look at Titus chapter 2, if you would. Another great verse in Titus chapter 2 that talks to us about our good works as a Christian. It says, Titus chapter 2 verse 14, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." With the zeal that we have to do good works, to do that which brings glory to our heavenly Father. And then Titus chapter 3 and verse number 8. We're right there in the book of Titus. Look at chapter 3 and over to verse number 8. It says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." So it says, those who have believed in God, or those who have been justified by faith in the sight of God, the Bible says that they are to be careful to maintain good works, again, so that we can let the world see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. So our good works then would be the outward, or our holy living, our holy manner of living, our godly life that we have would then be the outward evidence or effect of our inward faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So our faith is then demonstrated by the way that we live, demonstrated to others around us. Look back, if you would, at James chapter number 2. And now we'll move on. We read verse 14. Let's look down at verse number 15. It begins to give an illustration to us about this truth that we are revealing. It says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, now remember, I find it amazing that he says the individual would say to them as well, just like the person up in verse 14 says they have faith, but doesn't necessarily mean they have it. Now they would say to this individual, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? He gives a comparison here, doesn't he? He compares our faith and he gives the illustration of an individual that would be poor and an individual that would be needy or in need. And so he's saying this by way of this comparison that he gives. Really, it ultimately ends up being a contrast, doesn't it, between the two. He says faith has, he's talking about our faith and really mentions the fact that faith would have no evidence of being genuine if it would not be accompanied then with good works. It wouldn't have an evidence of being genuine. So now let's turn to the illustration that he gives here in verse number 15 and verse number 16. Just like our faith would have no evidence of being genuine if it's not accompanied with good works, the same way we would say that empty wishes on the welfare of a person who's empty, or excuse, a person who's poor and a person who's needy, which we see in verse number 16, don't we? We see some empty wishes for them. The thought is given there in verse number 16, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. So words were said, but nothing was done, right? So empty wishes for the welfare of a person that's poor and needy don't have much meaning if they're not accompanied with the means of meeting the needs of that individual. No more than it would for our faith if it's not accompanied by good works. Look down at verse number 17. The Bible says, even so faith. Now he gives that comparison there. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. That word being alone, or that little thought of at the end there of being alone, has the idea of it's dead in itself. If the works which living faith produce, and they have, it has no evidence of it. It's being alone. It's dead in itself. It is proof that faith has no existence there. We would say it this way. We would say it's lifeless. So good works then would flow from a life of faith, wouldn't they? And that's what the Bible's teaching us here in verse 17. Good works flow from a life of faith. Works don't bring us into faith. There are some individuals that do believe that, though, don't they? Works can bring them into faith. If I just work, I can get to heaven someday. So works don't bring us into faith, but faith does bring about works, though, doesn't it? So works don't bring us into faith, it doesn't save us, but because we have faith, though, it does bring about works. So we see a great truth there in verse number 14 down through verse number 17, but here now, we're going to move to verse number 18, and we're going to see the challenge for us today. So we've seen the truth. We've seen the truth of justification and faith, and we've seen the truth of good works that our faith produces, or the demonstration of our faith and the evidence of our faith in those good works. But now let's see the challenge that's given to us. Look at what verse number 18 says, down to verse 18 now. This is one of the verses that Brother Tom read for us. It says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. He's asking now for a proof or an evidence of this faith that we say we have. And James, as he writes this, it's almost James' way of saying, you try the one way, and I will demonstrate to you the other way. You try to show me, back to verse number 18, you try to show me your faith without your works, And then I will be able to demonstrate to you or show you my faith by my works. Here's what James is trying to say to us. True faith is visible, isn't it? True faith is visible. Now, the object of our faith is invisible. We can't see God, can we? But we've put our faith in Him. Again, we were not here when Jesus died for us. We didn't see Him die on the cross. So to us, that's invisible. I've never seen heaven, but we believe by faith it's a real place. So the object of our faith is invisible, but faith itself can be seen, can it? And that's what James is trying to say. Faith is shown to be real by the effect that it has on our life. The way that it has affected us, the evidence that can be given. So we cannot say we possess one unless it has developed itself in the form of the other. We can't say we have faith unless we've developed what goes along with that faith, which is the works, the good works of the holy life or the holy living that God speaks of. So faith leads to a holy life, and that holy life would be the evidence or the existence of that faith in our lives. So here's what I want us to notice that James does now. We have a truth between the two, and then we have the challenge to us. But then James even gives us now some examples that we can draw from. So we've seen the truth that's mentioned. Then we see the challenge to you and I that we demonstrate or prove our faith by our works. But now he gives us two unique Bible examples. Now we haven't read them yet, so let's get down to them. Let's look at verse number 21. First, he gives us the Bible example of Abraham. Notice it says in verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works? Again, that sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? We've read what Paul said. Paul says it's justification by faith, again, in the sight of God. But was not Abraham justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest thou how faith is wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, when we talked about the truth of the passage that we were looking at, we took you to some other scripture passages to be able to show you that really, in spite of the fact that some might think of it as a contradiction, it really wasn't. And we're going to show you that in the life of Abraham as well. I want you to take your Bible and I want you to turn to Romans chapter number 4 now. And I want us to see what Paul says about the faith of Abraham in Romans chapter number 4, and we're going to compare the two. Some might look at this as a contradiction, but let's go back to what we've already said about the possibility of a contradiction. It's not a contradiction. Instead, it's a truth of God that's mentioned in a different way or given in a different manner. So look at what Romans chapter 4 and verse number 3 says about Abraham. It says, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So what did Abraham do in order to be justified? He believed God, didn't he? Doesn't say anything about the works of offering his son Isaac, does it? Look with me, if you would, at Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11, the great Hall of Faith chapter that we refer to it sometimes, the great men and ladies of faith. So look at Hebrews chapter number 11 and look down at verse number 17, what is mentioned about the life of Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now here's what Abraham did. Abraham believed God, and in the sight of God, he was justified because of the fact that he had believed God. But Abraham also acted on his faith when he offered up Isaac, didn't he? He believed in God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, the Bible says, but he also acted on his faith when he offered up Isaac. There are times when you display or demonstrate or prove your faith when you act upon it. And that's what Abraham did when he offered up Isaac. This work of offering up Isaac didn't save him, but it was proof of his faith, wasn't it? He was able to act upon his faith. But now let's go back to the other illustration quickly here, back to James chapter number 2. And let's notice now another Bible character is given as an example for this. We've seen the great truth. We've seen the challenge. Now we're seeing some Bible examples. Look at the life of Rahab here in James chapter 2 and verse number 25. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? Again, we might say that sounds contradictory. That we would say we're justified by faith, but here we're justified by works. Look at what it says. When she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Now we're going to compare this to Hebrews chapter number 11. So look at Hebrews 11 if you would one more time. Hebrews 11, and notice what it says in verse 31 about the faith of Rahab. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Now there's a contrast between Rahab and those who believed not. So if Rahab was not in the group of those who believed not, then she was in the group of those who believed, right? We would say that Rahab believed, didn't she? So a contrast maybe here of believing in justification by faith and justification by works, but again, just the truth of God in a different way. Here's what we see about Rahab's conduct. Rahab's conduct proved her faith to be living, or the fact that her faith had power. Remember what she did back in the book of Joshua. We won't take time to read those verses, but remember when she hid the spies? By faith she did that, didn't she? She acted upon her faith. It proved the fact that she believed in God by what she was doing, by her acts or her deeds. And then we know the Bible tells us that after she had hid those spies, in order for them to get down from her place, she took a scarlet cord out, didn't she? That scarlet cord was a wonderful picture of Jesus and His blood that He would shed. And she lowered that scarlet cord down her window to be able to allow those spies to be able to go. And then remember what they said to him. If you'll take this same scarlet cord that you are lowering down to enable us to get away, and you will put this out your window at a time when we come back to conquer this city, you and your family will be delivered. Well, when it came time in Joshua chapter number 6 for that event to take place, the scarlet cord was there, wasn't it? She acted on her faith, and it showed the fact that she believed with her heart. So now let's draw this to a close, and let's look back at James chapter number 2 at two more verses, and we'll be finished. James chapter 2, and we'll look at two of our remaining verses here, and we'll be finished. And we're going to draw this to a close by now giving the application. We've got the truth. And again, the difference between the justification in the sight of God and the justification in the sight of men, and then also the challenge to us to show our faith by our works, and then the examples that are given in the Bible of Abraham and also the life of a lady of faith, Rahab. But then now we want to notice the application. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 20 of James chapter number 2. It says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead." Now, a person who is trying to say that they possess that, the Bible refers to them as a vain man. Look at what the Bible says in verse 26. "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Here's the great application for us. What we can draw from this today. Do we have working faith or do we have dead faith? Do we have working faith or do we have dead faith? Would it be able to be said that we've been justified by faith in the sight of God. And now others can see that demonstrated or patterned in our life by the way that we live the godly life that God desires for us to live. That godly life, that holy life, that life that's full of good works. Remember what the Bible says is going to happen when we trust Jesus as our Savior? There's going to be a great change that takes place. We're going to start living a holy life, aren't we? We're going to be able to show an evidence of our faith by the great change that takes place in our life. So do we have a working faith or do we have a dead faith? Now, understand that a dead faith dwells only in the tongue. A dead faith is only mentioned by just the words that are said. But again, it's a dead faith. It produces no good works. Along with it, there's no labor of love. There's no compassion that comes along with it. And so as a result of that, it's very dead. It's very cold. It's very lifeless. Something that only God would be able to give life to. It lacks the breath of something that every Christian has. A true believer has the Holy Spirit of God living in them, doesn't he? And so it lacks the breath of the Spirit of God within it. And therefore, it's incapable of performing the functions of faith that God desires for us to perform. For instance, hearing the Word of God. For instance, feeling the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoicing over spiritual joys. We would lack all of that if our faith is dead. And I notice now the Bible gives a great comparison here in verse number 26 as we draw this to a close. Do you notice the comparison that's given? Dead faith is compared to a body without a spirit. Look at the comparison there. Dead faith and the comparison to a body without a spirit. Well, a body without a spirit would have no breath, would it? A body without a spirit would have no life. A body without a spirit would be just a form. Kind of like when we come to a funeral service and we see a body that's laid out, but the soul and the spirit are gone, aren't they? They've gone to spend eternity somewhere. There's no life there. There's no breath there. It's just a form. And so God says, do you have working faith or do you have dead faith? A working faith would be a true faith that would be accompanied by actions. It's an active faith, isn't it? It's a faith that wants to see things done for the Lord. It's an inward faith that would then produce outward acts of love and outward acts of compassion. And listen to this one. Outward acts of service to the God who saved us as well. The God who justified us by faith. So let's think of two thoughts as we draw this to a close today. Works without faith are dead works, aren't they? Now, if we try to put our works, if we try to just say, I'm going to have works that are going to get me to heaven, but I lack faith, it's dead works, isn't it? And certainly, there are people that would believe that. If I would just live good, I could get to heaven without putting my faith in Christ. So works without faith would be dead works. But then let's remind ourselves of one more truth as we bring this to a close. The same way we would also say this, faith without works is dead faith as well. So do we have working faith or do we have dead faith? Now there could be somebody here today that would need to trust Christ as their Savior because they've never been justified in the sight of God by faith. They've never had a time where they've put their faith and trust in the Lord. So then I ask those who have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, do you have a working faith? Is your faith active? Do you display love and compassion and service to the Lord because of a working faith that is a demonstration or a proof or an evidence of the fact that you've been justified in the sight of God inwardly by faith? And so let's draw the truth from James and then the challenge for us and let's glean from those examples, but then us also make an application today. Do we have a dead faith or do we have a working faith? Would you bow your heads right there where you're sitting today and I call for you to make a decision now for the Lord.